From the KERA Newsroom, I'm B.J. Austin.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
50 years later, Dallas said goodbye today to John F. Kennedy. Thousands braved the rain and wind and chill of Dealey Plaza for a somber tribute to the president assassinated on Elm Street. KERA's Shelley Koffler chronicles an emotional day.
It was 37 degrees, and a canopy of dense gray clouds hung low over Dealey Plaza. Still, most of the 5,000 invited guests showed up, some covering their dark suits with clear plastic ponchos. The threat of thunderstorms canceled a performance by members of the symphony and a commemorative flyover. But powerful words and voices marked the 50th anniversary of a tragedy with hope.
You turned our sorrow into a firm commitment to move forward.
Catholic Bishop Kevin Farrell offered a prayer as he stood beneath a 50-foot banner that bore the likeness of JFK. He thanked God for moving Dallas beyond the dark stain that gave it the title City of Hate.
You turned our grief into a resolve to refashion our city to a place where life flourishes and true love abounds.
Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings called the assassination a day when hope and hatred collided. He said this is an opportunity to remember a man who gave Dallas a gift that will not be squandered.
He and our city will forever be linked. In tragedy, yes, but out of that tragedy, an opportunity was granted to us. The chance to learn how to face the future when it's the darkest and the most uncertain. How to hold high the torch even when the flame flickers and threatens to go out.
Reverend Zan Holmes continued the theme of learning from the past with his prayer.
Send us forth to claim the brand new future that you continue to offer us beyond our tragedies and our triumphs.
Those who remembered where they were at the fateful moment and others not yet born listened as historian David McCullough read from some of President Kennedy's speeches. Video screens provided a close-up of the new 13-foot plaque at Dealey Plaza. It's emblazoned with words from the speech President Kennedy had planned to give on his final day. Mayor Rawlings says he hopes the JFK remembrance will help the world see Dallas in a new light.
Hopefully we've turned the page today and we can go forward here in Dallas now in the 21st century.
Go forward while never forgetting the optimism and deeds of a president who still inspires. Shelley Koffler, KERA News.
KERA's Lauren Silverman spent the day talking to people on Dealey Plaza, while Stella Chavez checked in with folks outside. They're here with me now. So, Stella, talk a little bit about how the day started.
Well, despite the frigid temperatures, people started gathering outside the gated area by the old red courthouse pretty early. By the time the ceremony started, one Dallas police officer I spoke with estimated there were about 3,000 people in the area by Market and Main Streets. They were watching on one of the big screens there. One of the folks I met was Glenn Atkinson. He's originally from Ontario, Canada, and has been living in Dallas for a few months now. He was actually born 5 days after the assassination, but he says he's always felt a connection to JFK because of what his mom experienced that day.
What it was this brought her into labor. This whole tragic story was stressful for everybody. It was just terrible.
Atkinson says he believes all of the hours of news coverage his mom watched and listened to stuck with him, even though he was in his mom's womb.
Wow, that is quite a story. I understand you ran into some folks who were marking this occasion in a very different way.
That's right. There was a group there called the Coalition on Political Assassinations, and they're a group of what you would call conspiracy theorists. They held their own moment of silence on one street corner. Their leader, John Judge, spoke for a while, but they were kind of overshadowed by a larger group that calls itself InfoWars.
No more lies! No more lies! No more lies!
At this point, Dallas police officers moved toward the group, but didn't do much. And then after the event, I understand there was some pushing and shoving, but as far as I know, no arrests have been made.
Lauren, you were on Dealey Plaza, and how were people reacting there after the ceremony?
Well, it wasn't easy to catch people after the event ended because they were running back to their cars or to get on buses out of the cold and rain. But I did speak with a couple of people who won tickets in the lottery. And you can hear in this clip Kim Palooka. She's rubbing her arms together under a clear plastic poncho when I asked her whether she was happy with the ceremony.
Yes, it reached my expectations. I mean, the weather, of course. But, you know, you can't control the weather.
Was there any reaction to the speeches in particular?
I talked with a man named Jeff Palooka, who was with Kim, and he was especially moved by Mayor Mike Rawlings' speech. He was in grade school in Dallas when Kennedy was shot and told me that hearing Rawlings quote from the speech Kennedy was supposed to deliver later that day in Dallas, but never did, that was cathartic.
I think it was very important for the healing of Dallas. This is actually brings, I believe, some closure to this event, and it will always be a historical event, but now I think people looking back in hindsight will also see that it's brought together so many people in their lives.
And you could see that at the ceremony today. People came to Dealey Plaza not just from across Texas, but across the globe with that one purpose.
Lauren, Stella, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As many as 900 journalists were in Dealey Plaza today, and many of them from countries all over the world. KERA's Bill Zeebel caught up with some of the international contingent.
It really didn't matter what country they hailed from. Every foreign reporter said the assassination half a century ago was front page news in their country, and interest in the Kennedys has lasted through the decades. But in some cases, said Chiyoko Nakamoto of Japan's Fuji TV, there's another reason. Kennedy's daughter Carolyn is now the ambassador to Japan. And Nakamoto says her country is fascinated by the family.
It's like a dynasty. You don't have a royal family in the States. We do have an imperial family. So I guess the Kennedy family is like almost a dynasty, a royal family for the U.S.
Moroccan-born Nasser Hassini reports for Al Jazeera overseas. The news agency didn't exist half a century ago. But he says the Arab-speaking world paid close attention to the assassination then and to this memorial, especially after the assassination of Lebanon's prime minister 8 years ago.
And no one knows to this date who did it, and plenty of crazy theories. It's kind of similar to what happened to JFK's story. We still don't know who did it if we believe the crazy theories out there.
What's more, Hassini says Arab leaders learn from the U.S. In this case, that the horrific tragedy did not destroy the government.
This happened in a democracy. You can have local terrorism in a democracy. That's what it means to the Middle East. The guy, whatever we call him, in the Middle East, Oswald, if he did it, is a terrorist.
The BBC's Nick Bryant says his audience extends worldwide, and they want more than coverage of the memorial. For example, he asks, how much of the Sunny Camelot tale is myth? Because there was a darker side to Kennedy.
He enlarged America's military presence in Southeast Asia. He was a bystander on civil rights for the first 2.5 years of his presidency. And of course, his years in the White House were touched by scandal as well. So it's a contradictory legacy.
And a contradiction that continues 50 years later. Bill Zeebel, KERA News.
You can look back at today's ceremony on our live blog at keranews.org. Or listen at 9 tonight for the rebroadcast of our commemoration special, The 50th, Remembering John F. Kennedy. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin.